Well, here we are again. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm having a good time always learning on Radio Entrepreneurs. And this segment and group of segments are being hosted by the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, Prudential Center, downtown Boston, Massachusetts. Thank you very much, Mark Furman, who is our host at Tarlow, Breed. Our next guest, important topic, will be tariff or not the tariff. That is the question. So we're talking to Matthew Bach of Middleton and Schrull.
That's right.
Got it all right straight down the line?
You got it all right.
Okay, good. So, Matthew, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to get into the whole tariff topic, which our president has put right on those headlines.
That's right. So, Middleton and Schrull, where I'm a partner, is an international trade law firm. So we're focused exclusively on helping companies navigate legal and compliance issues in importing and exporting products into and out of the U.S. Client size usually ranges from small to medium startups who are looking at their first trade venture to well-established Fortune 500 multinationals who are looking more to refine their compliance processes or address, you know, a specific legal issue.
Okay, an exciting topic. Especially nowadays, you know, do you want to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in the United States over the last, what'd you say, 45 days?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a slow build since the new administration came in.
But he warned us this was coming.
He did warn, although I and many others in my field had come to think that maybe it was rhetoric and that he was going to let a lot of this pass. And then, you're right, and about 45 days ago, he really escalated the China trade war rhetoric. He laid down what we refer to as Section 232 penalties. Those are the aluminum and steel tariffs that he brought forward about a month and a half ago. And those are not China specific, but they really are indirectly targeted at China, being large producers of steel and aluminum.
Right.
And then on the heel of that, they filed what is called a Section 301. Trade action. They conducted an investigation, determined that China is utilizing technology transfer techniques to sort of usurp a lot of American IP and leverage that into about $50 billion worth of tariffs, proposed tariffs on Chinese imports. China immediately retaliated and said they'd do the same, levying tariffs on not just American products, but American products that are core to Trump's base. Think soybeans and other agricultural products. Trump then said they'd look at potentially another $100 billion worth of tariffs based on the retaliation. So there's been a lot of tit for tat. It has been escalating. The markets have been terrified. A lot of my clients have been terrified. We've been pouring through a list of over 1,300 products that are up for proposed tariffs. But then there was a little bit of cooling last night. China's premier seemed to indicate that he would be open to relaxing the markets more. So we'll see.
So I don't know if I can ask you personally versus professionally, but hasn't China been playing on an unfair playing field for a long time? Isn't the president actually correct with that? And to rectify this situation, since requests have been not listened to, that something had to be done, and the short-term effect might be worthwhile for the long-term improvement, and you're seeing that as of last night.
Yeah, and I mean, and this extends to a lot of other areas of his administration. Is, you know, if the status quo isn't working, and it has not been working clearly, and I think people on both sides of the debate will admit that it's not working, why not try something new? And it works for him in other areas of the law. Why not try it in the trade space? And I think there is a valid argument to say these developing economies tend to operate on more of a confrontational model anyways. So why not?
Or ruthless.
Or why not play more in that space? And you're right. To based on what we've seen from China in the last 24 hours, it's possible that Trump is right in that the retaliatory tariffs are a bluff, and that in the end they will essentially, in order to have access to the U.S. market, relent in their IP usurpation and not retaliate fully in levying
I'm a business person, you know, maybe more business politically savvy than you are, but I would think that China, that was a lose-lose for China, because what I was thinking is, here they wanted this technology, and the, you know, especially the technology to build their infrastructure and their economy, but if they're going to tax rice and soybeans, aren't they also hurting themselves right back at them? Because they need that stuff anyway, and this is the large market for production of those products.
Yeah, I mean the trade balance indicates that we need them probably a bit more than they need us on a purely trade basis.
On a numerical basis.
What they do need, to your point, though, is the technology. They are incapable of developing the technology at a sufficient rate to maintain their growth, and have relied on, in the past, transitioning American technology as a requirement for doing business in China, as sort of a...
I'll go back to my point. But if you're going to charge your citizens, who are now an increasingly moving towards middle class in China, more money for the essential foods to live by, is that not going to also create inflation in China and create a double hazard for their, you know, and makes it worthwhile for China to say, hey, let's try to work this out?
It is, and that's one of the gambles that the administration is taking, is that it's a bit of a bluff to say that they're willing to raise prices on such critical commodities as agricultural products on their citizens.
Right.
In addition to offending, you know, their greatest trading partner.
So you're working with American companies for the most part that are doing trade with China, and they're now having to scramble?
Yeah, so on the import side, it's predominantly American companies, but also some foreign companies with U.S. operations. But yeah, you know, it covers a wide swath of products. On the import side, or on the export side rather, out of the U.S., Trump is mainly concerned with taxing high technology products, so preventing high technology products from fleeing to China. And on the export side, it's primarily more agricultural commodities. So even there, you see an imbalance. On one end, we're talking about high technology products, whereas on the other end, you know, China is looking to tax very low grade commodities.
Right. And so in some level, has this been beneficial to the business part of your practice?
Yeah, unfortunately, in most cases, what's good for me is not necessarily great for my clients.
Right.
Although, you know, one nice thing about this practice is it tends to be a practice that is not always a cost center. We do have an opportunity to leverage things like trade agreements and actually save money for our clients. We look at tariff engineering models to figure out how to better position their products for import to save them on landed duty costs. So there is an opportunity to not just be a cost center for clients. So it can be good for me, yes. Volatility is good for me, yes. But I think we do provide a service that usually results in lowering an expense for the clients.
So how long have you been with the firm?
With this firm, 3 years.
Right.
Ironically, I started with the firm right out of law school, went off and did my own thing, and then came back in and bought the firm. So a bit of a full circle for me.
And you're an entrepreneur then?
That's right. It's allowed me to scratch that itch.
Right. So what's that been like, the entrepreneurial side?
It's been a big change. I came out of most recently Ernst & Young, so very large, heavily bureaucratic environment. Where you know you're only guided by the next client and the next billable hour. So this is a small firm. We're four lawyers, so it's very much running a small business. It's taking on marketing and business development entirely on my own, expanding into new markets on
not
my
a
own,
field so. You're very experienced
no,
in.
No, not something they teach you in law school. No.
No, no, it's not. Would you be willing to come back again and talk to us about, you know, different aspects of what's
absolutely
going on with tariffs? It's just such a hot topic for us.
And not one that's likely to cool anytime soon. NAFTA is still the big looming issue.
Well, I was going to mention that also. His first shot was against Prime Minister Trudeau when he talked about NAFTA. Trudeau's response, politically correct, was, hey, you want to open it up for discussion, is probably a good time.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a lot since then.
There's been so much stalling, I think the issue is there's three partners in this agreement.
Mexico.
Canada is, we really don't have many issues with Canada. There are a few specific products where I think we'd like to see better controls. But the big issue is Mexico. And the issue, the bigger issue is that it's a political one. It's not necessarily a trade one.
Well, as in the president sort of wound the wall into this whole trade
exactly.
issue.
Yeah. And so he's using a, and this is not the only time he's done it, but he's using a trade tool for political and economic leverage. Which is another issue with the steel and aluminum tariffs. The law that allows him to do that is a national security law. And he's used it for leverage in trade agreements with South Korea already, which has caused a lot of regulators to say, you know, aren't we outside the bounds technically of a national security imperative when you're essentially just using this as a mechanism to get concessions from South Korea?
So, you know, it all boils down to economics. Yep. You know, somebody once taught me that, you know, everything's about dollars and cents and politically.
Yep.
So we're talking about China. I assume this some of these tariffs affect Russia as well. It affects Canada.
Yep.
It affects Mexico, the wall, immigration. So I think, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have you come back and talk to us again.
Yeah, would love to.
Great. If someone wants to connect with you prior to that, how would they find you?
So you can come to the website. It's www.mstradelaw.com.
Great.
That's Middleton & Schroll, LLC.
Great. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I want to thank Matthew Bach for being on the show today. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.